Good morning. If you have a Bible, open to Matthew 20. That's where we're going to take our teaching from today. It is good to be with you today. How appropriate. Well, first of all, if you didn't give, repent and come up and give. Second, how far can I move? Should I just stand still? Okay. Well, because I'm out of control. That's the problem. Okay. How appropriate that we are talking about leadership and servanthood on Good Friday. Because our ultimate example of leadership and servanthood is Jesus Christ. There are two reasons I believe that the Bible is inspired. One is because of the prophecies, and they are 100% accurate, and that scientifically and that the Bible is 100% accurate. The second reason, though, is because of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are some questions that people ask me I don't have an answer for. I have an answer that suits me. I have a good argument. But I always come back to this. But he was resurrected. So I follow him. I follow imperfectly, but I follow him to the best of my ability. And so I want you guys to walk out of here today saying to yourself, I will lead myself, because every man, every young man in this room, you are a leader. First, for yourself. You have to lead yourself before you lead anybody else. Before you can serve others well, you have to learn to lead yourself. Isn't it appropriate, though, that we can talk about this on Good Friday? It's wonderful. I do know, I appreciate the invitation, and brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate David Hill. I imagined how that conversation went behind the scenes back last year when you guys were setting up your speaker schedule. You're like, well, we've got Good Friday coming up, so why don't we go and find the best speaker in the world? And so you made that call, and he said no. And so then he said, well, I'm just imagining this is how it went. If we can't find the best speaker, let's at least find the smartest speaker in the world. And so you made that call. And he said, no, thank you. This is not a response. Well, if we can't get the best and the smartest, let's at least get the best looking in the world. And they made that call. And that guy said, nope. Then they said, well, you know, we could call Dan. And anyways, they made that call. And what was I going to say? I'd already told them no 3 times. Okay, without stopping your laughter, I want to pray for you. Father, we come in joy this morning. We are grateful to know you. I know, Father, that there are men in this room that Satan is having a heyday with. And we have convinced ourselves that your grace is enough and we're going to keep living in sin. Your grace is enough. We're going to keep holding on to those attitudes. But Father, we know in our heart of hearts that you've given us a post to guard. And I pray, Father, that today will be a reminder that we get to lead ourselves. We get to choose to be obedient to you and to stand our post. And by your grace, by your power, we will be successful. It's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen. So Jesus is our greatest example of leadership and servanthood. Jesus was lifted up to the highest place because he lowered himself to the lowered place. Jesus was lifted up because he humbled himself. Now, my birthday is on Sunday. I'm going to turn 62. It's a little weird. But I, This is not a response. I'm not looking for feet. Can I get an amen? After you've lived a while, you realize that you don't know it all. But you also realize that the experience that you have had in life is unique to you. And I want to say to anybody who's over 50, 55, don't stop living and leading. Joshua was 90 years old when he led the children of Israel into the promised land. 90. All that is required is that we humble ourselves before Jesus Christ and say, you know what? You're smarter than me. I'll listen to you. So I want you to walk out of here and say to yourself, I'm going to lead myself and I am going to give my attention to Jesus Christ. Our resources are what? Money, time, attention. The scarcest of all resources is attention. People want your attention. You get to decide what gets your attention, who gets your attention. I've taken all social media off my phone. My attention is too valuable. I don't have Netflix. It's not the devil. It's fine. I just don't have time for it. I mean, the devil's in it, but it's not the devil. But we've made a decision that we're going to live a certain way because our attention, I get to choose what gets my attention. It is the scarcest of all resources. Then I do time management stuff too because it is so critical, and every minute that passes, you don't get another minute. I can lose all my money and I can go make more money, but you can't make more time. So Jesus is our greatest example, but here's the thing. We talk about Jesus from Philippians 2 and he went to the cross. I get that, but you and me aren't going to die for the sins of humanity. But we are called to live for Jesus, and living is sometimes a little bit harder. I learned so much, though, from the disciples, and I want to show you from Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. This is one of those old-time Bibles that you guys have heard about. I got it from a museum. It's made of paper, and you can turn the pages, and I never lose one of the verses. It's always there when I go back. And there's a lot of writing in my Bible. I've not added to the Word of God, for those of you who are wondering. I'm just so dumb. I got to write down the information I need to remember. In Matthew chapter 20, though, Jesus had just finished talking to them about what's valuable in the kingdom. And it says there in verse 17 that as he was going up to Jerusalem, he reminded them for the third time, I'm going to be persecuted and I'm going to be killed. And right after that, Matthew chose to put this story in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. James and John's mother came with him and was going to ask Jesus for something. Now, what I want to do today is I want to show you how Jesus led and served the people he led, and not get too caught up in just the dumbness of the disciples, okay? So verse 21, Jesus said, "What is it you want?" he asked. And she said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other on your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." Well, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and he said this, You know that the rulers and of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but it's not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you're taking notes, write this down. In the kingdom of God, it is not about status. It is about serving. In the kingdom of God, it is not about status. It is about serving. We have to decide as men, what gets our attention? Who gets to tell us how to live? Who gets to tell us why it matters how we live? And when we begin to turn off the radio, we decide what kind of music we're going to listen to. We choose what we're going to look at on our phones. We begin to choose who we're going to hang out with. We begin to choose what sort of conversations we're going to have. We begin to see our lives changing. Why? Because follow this. This is the way God has created us. Our thoughts lead to actions. Our actions over time lead to habits. Our habits over time lead to character. That's how we're known by our habits. That's our character. And our character leads to destiny. If people say, well, I'm trying to change my character or the destiny, the trajectory of my life, and so I'm going to go change a few of my habits, I'm like, you haven't gone back far enough. Well, I'm just going to change the way I talk or the way I act. I'll tell you, you haven't gone back far enough. If you want to change the trajectory of your life, change the way you think. Because in the Word of God, it says that we are to be transformed by the what? Renewing of our mind. Another word for renewing is renovate. Renovation often starts with demolition. Sometimes we have to tear some things down in the way we think. Listen to me. You can walk out of here and say to yourself, no one has any control over the way I behave. I get to choose. And it depends on how I think. And I am going to give my attention and my thoughts to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. So along comes Jesus, and he has this woman bowing down, and he asks the question, what do you want? Now, it's interesting. I don't think he's actually talking to her. He's talking to the two boys. We don't know exactly how old the boys were, but the disciples were anywhere from the ages of 13, probably up to 20 or 21. The disciples were, some of them were older and married. We know that the apostle Peter was married, but they were a little bit older. But so these boys came with their mother, and the mother bows down and says, I just want you to grant that one of these boys will sit on your right hand and one on the left. See, they thought the kingdom of God was about what was here and now, but the kingdom of God is not about status. It's about serving, and that's what Jesus was about to tell them. But I want to point something out here. When we lead people, isn't it aggravating sometimes that they don't get it? Isn't it? Don't you just sometimes want to just take them and just pop their head? Just punch them in the throat? Just get it. But here's Jesus. Jesus is omniscient. He is all knowing. He knows the thoughts, the intent of the heart of all people. And yet he doesn't assume what they want. He asks, what do you want? This is a leadership moment. We need to learn to ask better questions. A good question to ask for everybody you lead is, what do you want? Back when I was with a church over in the Winter Springs, Oviedo area, I was there for 22 and a half years before I just sensed that it was time for me to step out. I had three mentors. If I mention their names, you'd probably know who they are. But I was very fortunate to have them speaking into my life. And one of the mentors lived in Miami, one in Dallas, one up in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of the mentors was hearing my story for the umpteenth time. And finally, on the other end of the phone, he asked me, "Dan, what do you want?" And I began to tell him, I began to regurgitate everything that I was thinking. And he said, "No, I didn't ask you, what do you not want? I asked, what do you want?" I could have punched him in the throat. But that question changed the trajectory of my life. Because when I told him what I wanted, he said, "Then be that." And what came to me was the problem wasn't everybody else. The problem wasn't outside of me. God had given me the ability to choose, to make a choice. And it didn't matter which way I chose. It mattered that I chose and that I owned the decision that I made. So what do you want? I'm fascinated that Jesus asked, "What do you want?" In fact, when you read the Gospel of John, the first words in red are the two disciples coming to follow Jesus. And the first words in red out of the mouth of Jesus, the way that John records it, is he turned to these two young men that came to follow him who were disciples of John the Baptist. And you know what he did? He asked them a question. "What do you want?" I'm fascinated. God, Jesus, in God in the flesh, knows what they want, but it didn't matter that he knew, it mattered that they knew what they wanted. Today, it doesn't matter what I want for you. I'm asking every one of you, what do you want? And no church words, please. What do you want? On the other hand, you compare me to Jesus. I am not omniscient. But if I have a little bit of information, I'll inform you what you want. And I forget, everybody's just like me. We do better when people are challenging us and asking us, "What do you want?" And that's where he starts. Isn't that powerful? I start by asking you, "What do you want?" Then begin to think about that and pray about that and take time in that every day. Don't tell me that you want to be different if you are not willing to put in the work to be different. That's up to you. Because our thoughts lead to action. And by action, I mean our thoughts come out in words and come out in deeds. My friends, be very careful what you say. Words are powerful. And here's the thing. Your ears believe everything they hear your mouth say. Be careful what you say. Be very careful what you say about yourself, about your wife, about your children, about the person who's on their cell phone when the light turns green. I should be very careful. In fact, I'm repenting right now about that. Jesus is omniscient. I am not. And yet Jesus would ask them questions. That's number one. Number two, I read down through here where Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from the cup." Side note, James and John are coming and asking him, "Hey, can we sit on your right and your left?" He goes, "Oh, I can't give you those places, but you will drink from the cup." James became the first martyr of the apostles. You read in the book of Acts. John was the last. It's fascinating. But when the other 10 heard it, in verse 24, when the 10 heard about this, they were what? They were indignant. They were ticked off. They were angry. They were bothered, hot and bothered by this. And the fact that they all responded the way they did to the request of James and John, basically, they were just telling on themselves. It wasn't James and John who had the issue. It was all 12 who had the issue. And Jesus came along and said, "Oh, we got to have us a coaching moment. gather it up, boys. And he says, listen, you guys in the world, this is the way they work. This is not so in the kingdom of God. It's just not the way we work. But I began to ask myself a question. In fact, Dave, back when you asked, when you guys called and said, hey, could you talk about leadership and servanthood, I began in my prayer time in the mornings to give this some thought. And the very first thing that came to mind was Matthew 20. And the very first question that the Lord asked me is, Dan, what makes you indignant? Wait, what? So let me ask you, what makes you indignant? You ever notice how we are okay with what makes us indignant? Because we're right. And we're not okay when others are indignant. We're like, well, that's not how Jesus would want you to act. Like, you should stop talking right now. But we become indignant. I ask, what makes us indignant? So what makes you indignant? I'm just curious. Isn't it funny how shallow we can be about what makes us indignant? I'm just asking. I'm not actually pointing fingers at y'all. I'm going to keep my hands over here by myself. But what makes you indignant? And I begin to think, how do I talk about what? How do I help the men to understand what makes you indignant? And I begin to think through the Word of God. And I said, you know, Jesus was indignant once. He was indignant with his disciples whenever they were stopping the children from coming to him. He became indignant and he said, what are you doing? For such belongs the kingdom of God to these. And he became indignant. So I'm like, well, it's okay to be indignant if you're indignant about the right thing. So how do I categorize this? And I begin to think, oh, you know what? Sometimes we're indignant and it's about me. That's bad. Somebody got ahead of me. Guys, I was in a ministry for 22 years. And the fact that I was in a ministry for 22 years, somebody asked me one time, why do you get to be in charge? I'm like, well, I kind of got here first. But the truth is, we're not owed anything. And when we come in humbly the way Jesus did, we realize, oh, I serve at the discretion of God. I'm not owed. God doesn't owe me anything. My company doesn't owe me anything. When you live this way, it puts you in control of how you behave. It puts you in control of how you live. It puts you in control of how you love when you don't feel entitled. It is a wonderful way to live. That's the way Jesus is living here in this passage. And the reason I'm focusing on Jesus and not the disciples is the disciples were always saying, we want to be great. We want to be great. Can we have the seat on your right and the left? We want to be great. Well, we want to be great too. How come they brought their mother to talk to you? We didn't know that was part of the rules. We want to be great. Can you move us up ahead of the line? See, they thought that they were getting cut in on. They wanted to be great. When it's about me, I realized I become indignant about things because somehow I feel justified. I'm justified in, well, why did they cut me off? I'm the best driver in Central Florida I do everything right and correctly, and when I don't, it's justified. And then I thought, well, maybe it's indignation is okay when I am indignant for others or on behalf of others. That's big in our world today. I'm angry because of these people over here or this man over here or this woman over there. I'm indignant for them. I still think that's shallow. What occurred to me was Jesus was indignant because his mind was on God. And when he saw life and how people were being treated from the viewpoint of God, that is what allowed him to be indignant. Oh, no, you can't stop the children from coming to me. Oh, no, he became, when he turned the tables over in the temple, he said, you're turning my father's house, that should be a house of prayer, into a den of robbers and thieves. What are you doing? Basically, he was angry because they were making it so difficult for the common person to worship. That was the problem. The problem wasn't the money changing. The problem was that it moved, the money changing had moved inside, and they were making it complicated and more difficult for just a common person to worship God. And so he comes along here and he says, that makes you indignant. That would be okay to be indignant for that. So my question is, well, what is your mindset? So I have this little formula that I follow. It is this. When I return good for good, that is very human-like. When I return evil for evil, that's animal-like. That's what animals do. When I return evil for good, that is devil-like. But when I return good for evil, that is God-like. When I return good for good, that's human. When I return evil for evil, that's animal-like. When I return evil for good, that's devil-like. But when I return good for evil, that is God-like. Men, we get to stand our post, and the people we serve, the people we love, may not deserve our love and kindness, but we didn't deserve the love and kindness of God our Savior. That is called grace. He's given us His grace. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You understand the difference between grace and mercy? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Isn't that wonderful? Whoo! When you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Whatever talents, whatever abilities God has given to each one of you, it's not because you're awesome and great. It's because God has been gracious to you. And he says here, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know what you're doing? You're handing out grace. Now, it'd be weird if you said that. I'm giving you a little bit of God's grace. That'd be weird. I'd say, well, you can keep it. If anyone speaks, they should do as though you're speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do it so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our goal as men is for him to get glory. I live the way I live, not so that others might see that I am living well. I live the way I live because one thing, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I will meet him again, and he is the only one I need to answer to, but I will answer to him. He will hold me accountable. Now, there's one last thing in Matthew chapter 20 that I want to point out. When he called the 10 together, this is what he said. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but it's not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant. Stop right there for just a minute. I understand that. Okay, if I want to be great, how many of you guys want to be great? You guys want to be great? All you got to do, you literally can just be great just by being a servant. See, if leadership is influence, then influence is increased through service. Let me say that again. If leadership is influence, and it is, then leadership and influence is increased as you as you serve. So I get that. And but I make the mistake of saying, okay, I'm going to go serve. I'm going to go do. I'm going to go do all that I'm going to go do. I'm going to go give money, or I'm going to go give away a car, or I'm going to go preach a great sermon, or I'm going to go. Last weekend, they said, man, we hate to ask you this, but because we know you stand up here and preach, but could you help with the parking? Yes. That is my dream job. Give me, I said, if you have a vest and a walkie-talkie, I'm in. They said, why a walkie-talkie? I said, because there will be an emergency and I need people to know I'm in charge. And my wife kisses, she goes, you don't know what you've just unleashed. You've unleashed in this man. He thinks this is wonderful. But I make the mistake of thinking that serving is something that I say, well, I'm going to give that. But Jesus, here's what Jesus says. Must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me stop here for just a minute. In the kingdom of God, it is not about status. It is about serving. I'm going to add one more piece of information. And it is not just about serving, but serving is about sacrifice. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and it's that last part of that verse, to give his life. When you give something, you are sacrificing that thing. Let me show you something. I think I've got 5 minutes here, right? Okay. If this table, if I said this table represents living for God, we'd say, are you going to sacrifice? We say, oh yeah, I'm going to sacrifice. Let me give you my truck. Here's the keys. And I'm going to give you my truck. And I'm going to give you my house. I got some keys here for that too. I'm old school. Some of y'all just punch buttons to get into things. But and here's to the office, and this is to all of the companies and all. And I'm going to lay those keys. I'm going to sacrifice those things. And God says, that's all you're going to give? Well, no, I got a wallet over here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give all my money, which don't get excited, you know. Been in ministry, so don't. But I'm gonna give my wallet there. And he goes, oh, so this is the way we think about giving. What about that cell phone? Well, I don't know about that. So I'm gonna give that too. So we think of giving as that of what we're gonna do, and it's almost like it's disconnected from us. But let me show you what God wants. I'm not gonna stand on the table. God wants us to sacrifice ourselves. He wants us to pick ourselves up and to stand in the circle. He doesn't want all your stuff. He wants you. He doesn't want all the good deeds you can do. He wants you. He doesn't want all the wonderful words you can say. He wants you. This is the pot calling the kettle black. I know what it is like to give and to serve and to be held up while on the backside holding some things to myself. But there is freedom, men of God, for you when you say, I'm going to lead myself. I'm going to stop talking about everybody else, what they should do, how they should be, and I'm going to begin to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be? And Father, I am going to offer myself. You have me. I'm your man. I may not be much, but do with me what you can. And he will. He will use you. He has each one of you positioned. Stand a post. You say, but I'm afraid. It's all right. He's with you. Be strong. I don't feel strong. But she doesn't deserve me to love her that way. You stand your post. But what if it takes 20 years? What if she never loves me? Stand your post. Decide what's going to get your attention. Think about that and talk about that. Because your thoughts lead to actions. Your actions lead to habits. Your habits develop your character, and your character over time lead to destiny. I just want you to walk out of here and say to yourself, I am going to lead myself. And everything that is in your sphere of influence, God will get that if he gets you. But here's the thing, you get to decide. It's your life. You get to decide. The truth is, I don't know where all of you are coming from. And even if I did, how little we know of each other. Even though, however much we know of each other, how little. We just need to be men who say, you know what? I'm going to live well. I'm coaching one man who's very wealthy, and he said very bluntly to me, he said, I don't need to make any more money. And he's right. He owns 8 companies, and he's worth, I don't know how, zillions of dollars. And I said, well, why did you come to us in the first place? Because I coached also through the Ziegler Corporation. And he's 64. He said, because I have gotten to where I have gotten, and he's a man of faith, but he realized that he said, I'm not done living. And I can live better. Isn't it funny that you can get into your 50s and 60s and still have emotional stuff that you got to deal with and unpack, and that you realize, yeah, you've gotten to where you are, and people say you're awesome, but you know. And you know, right, you want to know something? It's okay that you know. It's not okay that you keep it hidden and buried. Stand up. Be the man that God has called you to be. Don't be more than you are, but don't be less than you are. Of all the books that you've been reading in here, the 4 books that they've assigned you to read, The 12 Ordinary Men, it is a story about how God takes these ordinary boys who argued and were indignant that they didn't think to ask Jesus for those seats on the right and the left first. God took them and he turned them into leaders of the church. That's us. First, lead yourself. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.